Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in for Maggie, who's camping up north, extending her long weekend, and I hope she's having fun up there. It's a beautiful day to be up north. Mm-hmm. I'm joined by my usual co-host, Angela Lang. You can join the conversation at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. If you want to talk about Jenna Jacobson's race against Howard Markline, or pick up even the conversation we had with Reverend Cooper, Chief David Cooper, who's having that big protest in Madison, faith-based protest against Trump's policies on August 2nd at 11 o'clock at Library Mall, marching up to the Capitol. But right now, as Maggie likes to say, there's been some breaking news. So here is the breaking news. A former Louisville police officer, Brett Hankinson, was sentenced this afternoon to 33 months in prison for violating Breonna Taylor's rights when he shot 20 times blindly through her door there, or blindly fired 10 bullets into her daughter's room and killed Breonna Taylor. So he violated her rights, and the shocking thing, this whole thing is shocking actually, but the latest shocking thing was that the Trump Justice Department said he should only serve one day in jail. I mean, that is a huge slap in the face to everyone who was protesting what happened to Breonna Taylor. The Louisville Urban League president, Lyndon Pryor, had said, "We're really talking about the undermining of the entire system, which is already on thin ice." And he said that would have been a setback in criminal justice and judicial reform and in the entire American government, he said, if he was going to get off scot-free. Didn't get off scot-free, didn't get a huge penalty here. Angela Lang, what's your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I have mixed feelings because on one hand, it was recommended, you know, a single day, right? Which I do think would have been a huge slap in the face. But quite frankly, I expected that. We've seen time and time again where police escape accountability for violating people's basic rights, for murdering unarmed folks, traffic stops. I was just in Racine this weekend facilitating a conversation with the film directors from the movie Cycle. And we see this time and time again of law enforcement violating rights, to say the least, if not worse. And so I was actually kind of surprised to see that it was more than just a day. But at the same time, it's hard to think that any amount of time could ever do justice for someone that should still be here.
Talk a little bit more about that film Cycle that you mentioned.
Yeah, so Cycle, a while back in, I think, June or so, Dan Schaefer and I actually interviewed the directors because they were making their debut at the Milwaukee Film Festival. And Cycle tells the story of 18-year-old Tyrese West, who was murdered by the police, by Mount Pleasant police in 2019, right on the heels of the Juneteenth celebration in Racine. And it's a tragic, heartbreaking story, plot twist, you know, I guess, spoiler alert, the cop has had multiple investigations for abuse of conduct and all sorts of things, and he is still on the force and has had not one ounce of accountability. And, you know, this was the first time that this film was actually being shown in Racine, in the community where it actually happened. And I was lucky enough to be able to facilitate a conversation afterwards with the directors. And it was cool because, like, the first interview that they've done around the film was with me and Dan Schaefer. And then now to be asked to do it in this way during kind of their homecoming was great. But it was heavy, you know, the folks that there was 250 folks that filmed that theater that you can tell were tired of seeing these types of issues continue. And I think, you know, whether it's Tyrese West or Mike Brown or Sandra Bland, Dontre Hamilton in Milwaukee, I think folks are really exhausted. But I think there's something to be said about continuing to tell the stories in real time, whether it's Breonna Taylor and, you know, the sentencing today, or even Tyrese West. So people aren't forgetting these stories, but also see the cruelty, and a reminder to not look away from the cruelty, to make sure that we make sure it doesn't happen again too.
Yeah, it's really important. The film again is Cycle. In the Breonna Taylor story, the officer just sentenced to 33 months, not one day, as the racist Trump Justice Department wanted it to be. There seems to be no limit in the blatant racism that they're engaging in now. I mean, Trump wants to, you know, change the names back on the football teams that had NFL football teams. I mean, there's nothing. He wants to be NFL commissioner, too. It's not enough that he's just president of the United States.
He wants to be Pope. He wants to be king, NFL commissioner, maybe an astronaut. We can send him to space. I don't know.
Head of the Kennedy Center.
He
wants it all.
All
won't be satisfied. You know, I'm struck on our conversation we've had today, especially with Chief Cooper. You know, I'm struck by the increasing sadism that we're seeing in this country, the increasing callousness, and that's part of the reason he's having this march to protest against all of that. I mean, there was this story today in The Guardian about people who are being detained and just packed in and in disgusting conditions. I know Tom Hartman mentioned it on the show that airs here on Civic Media earlier today, but it is just amazing. The details, they had men shackled with their hands behind their backs. Here, I'll just read a paragraph. Migrants at a Miami immigration jail were shackled with their hands tied behind their backs and made to kneel to eat food Monday from styrofoam plates like dogs at three overcrowded South Florida facilities. It's just amazing. It's disgusting. It's appalling. It's an affront, but it's part of this movement you and I have been talking about every time we get on the show, or any show on Civic Media, about the I call it what it is, about a fascist form of government that is authoritarian at the top, that engages in scapegoating and blatant cruelty to dull people to the sensations that they're seeing, which would allow them to go even further and further. And that's what I think the Trump administration is doing. And that's why we had, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem at that El Salvador prison in front of those people who were half naked and jammed in like sardines. Mm-hmm. That's why we're seeing the thing down in the Everglades. It's just there's no limit really to how dehumanizing the Trump administration is being toward immigrants in this country.
I mean, when you're saying that the alligators are going to have a lot to eat, right? In alligator Alcatraz or whatever they're calling it, like it is that dehumanizing. And I feel like every single time we jump on air, we talk about how it's dehumanizing and it's cruel. And that's one of the ways that people are able to get away with things, with how they treat whole populations and whole communities of folks. Is the first thing you have to do is try to get the public opinion to not see that group of people as human. We've seen that with trans folks, and we're seeing it with immigrants. We've definitely seen it with Black folks. And it kind of just bounces around from time to time of what group of folks is the target that we're going to dehumanize, because the more we can persuade the public to not even see them as human beings, the more we can get away with treating them cruelly.
Angela Lang just mentioned, or was referring to a quote that Laura Loomer, who is kind of Trump's whisperer, she wrote on social media, "Alligator lives matter." That's a really nice sentence too, right there. And she went on, "The good news is alligators are guaranteed at least 65 million meals if we get started now." And so she's going after not just the so-called 12 or 13 million undocumented immigrants in this country, but every single Latino, because she added there are 65 million illegal aliens in the United States. Just happen to be 65 million Latinos in the United States. So she is saying that everybody who's Latino should be put in that alligator Auschwitz down in Florida and be eaten by an alligator.
These are no longer dog whistles. Like, these are straight bullhorns at this point.
It was disgusting. Or the other comment was, Ann Coulter saying, "We didn't kill enough Indians."
Ooh, yeah, I saw that.
This is about a Native American professor, Melanie Yazzie, a history professor at the University of Minnesota, who was speaking at a conference on socialism. And Ann Coulter didn't like something she said, so she posted, "We didn't kill enough Indians." If that doesn't take your breath away, if you're listening right now in your car or in your home and that didn't make you gasp, yeah, I think you better take a look, because this is bragging about genocide. Both of them bragging about genocide.
Very much so. It is cruel. It is disgusting. It's, you know, I think about how at some point, like, I shouldn't be surprised at some of these comments anymore. But, you know, when you live under this basic social contract that, you know, war is bad, killing people and genocide is bad, right? And suddenly all of those things, those basic assumptions that we agreed to as a country and as a society are out of the window. It is ridiculous to look around or to log on Twitter and to see these quotes and these comments. And it's like, where did the basic decency go? Not even necessarily partisanship, you know, politics are going to be what they are. But things like racism were not political at one point. Yes, there may have been a party that's a little bit more racist than the other. But, you know, it was one of those things you were taught in elementary school. Racism is bad. And it wasn't seen as controversial. You know, let's increase voter turnout with everyone. That is a good thing. And these things have become partisan issues to the point where people are bragging about genocide, whether it's with indigenous folks and Native Americans or immigrants. And we can also talk about borders and colonization and all of that if we really want to get into who people are being treated as immigrants when there was a whole indigenous community here before we were.
Yeah. And, you know, it reminds me of what Chief David Cooper was talking about an hour ago here with us, the Reverend Cooper, saying, you know, the golden rule is part of every faith in the world. And we see an administration right now that is flagrantly and blatantly violating the golden rule, violating the basic moral precepts of every religion that there is. And people are letting it happen. His support doesn't seem to budge. I mean, when he was sitting next to me, David Cooper, he was at break time, he was wagging his finger saying, you know, people aren't able to, we're not able to move the dial on these folks. The only thing that's moving the dial is the crazy Epstein thing. And they knew this guy was a sexual predator the first time he ran. He admitted it in public. On tape, he admitted it. And now he's a convicted sexual abuser. And this is what's getting people up in arms. I mean, kind of, you know, crazy what grabs people and what doesn't grab people morally, which is a problem we're facing in this country. We're going to lighten you up a little bit when we're back. I'm Matt Rothschild. Angela Lang is my co-host. I am going to give you a poem on immigrant rights and then a bird song I heard just yesterday. We'll be right back on the Maggie Dawn Show, 855-752-4842.